Hello, everybody. My name is David Dichter. I sing with MDC, and you are listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. And I hope you have a great day, and kill the cop in yourself, and hopefully the rest will follow.
Hello, bonjour, and welcome back to La Bonne Heure with Valley here on 101.9 FM, located on the ancestral, traditional, and unceded territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people. Quite an exciting day for you here today. We're going to be chatting with Matthias, aka Spec Phil, in just a moment. And we're also going to be playing lots of music, so stay tuned for that. And up first, here is a song by Synapson called Stand Tall.
I'll be a bird without a sky. You can be warm without the sun. We will drift by without the breeze. I will drift by without the breeze. I'll be a bird without the sky. You can be warm without the sun. We will drift by without the breeze. I will drift by without the breeze. I can shine on. Révolution pour créer un message plein d'amour et d'espoir. Je pense qu'elle est importante parce qu'encore aujourd'hui, l'histoire continue de s'écrire. Des moments de grande violence, de fermeture d'esprit entre humains, alors que d'après moi, on avance seulement à partir du moment où on s'unit, qu'on apprécie, qu'on respecte la richesse de notre pluralité. Et qu'on est plus fort ensemble en fait.
I can shine on without the light. You should live free without the hassle.
right. So that was Stand Tall by Synapsen featuring Dominique Phil's Anime. And we have today in the studio, we have Matthias, also known as Spec Phil. So hello, and thanks for coming on the air with us today.
Hello, hello. Thank you for having me. Of course. Very excited to be here.
Yes, very excited to have you. I always start my interviews with a couple fun questions. Okay. I don't always know if they are fun, but they're fun when I'm writing them. So up first, I kind of dissected your name a little bit. And so the first half is spec. So I was thinking about like glasses. I was thinking about spectacles. I have three types of eyewear.
Okay.
So the first is those really mirrored, reflective, like aviator glasses.
Top gun glasses.
Okay. But specifically thinking about like those fishing, you know, the ones that people wear when they're fishing. Like okay, those cool. kinds.
All right.
The second one is the Happy New Year ones that have like 2020 and your eyes stick out of the O's.
Yeah.
And then the last is swim goggles.
Okay.
Just like a regular pair of swim goggles.
Okay.
So you get nominated for an award.
Yeah.
It could be any award that you want. It could be an academic award, a music award, Nobel Prize. But you have to wear one of those types of glasses as you get your prize.
Even before you finish the question, I knew it's got to be the swim goggles.
Oh, really?
Yeah, 100%.
Really? Okay. Wow. Is there a reason? Or just
I just feel like it would be kind of undermining whatever I was getting the award for. You just not take it seriously.
That's true.
It would be kind of funny. You know, rock up for like an academic award and you're just rocking the swim goggles.
Yeah, the Nobel Prize. Love that. All right. My second question is, you've had quite an international background and also now ending up in Canada.
Yeah.
And I think the three main areas are, so now Canada, the UK and Denmark. If you had to be a musician and touring stops existing,
yeah,
aeroplanes don't exist, boats don't exist, little rafts don't exist, you can only be a musician in one of those three places, which one would you choose?
I think because I like musically came to life in Vancouver, I'd choose Canada.
Okay.
I've never done a live show. Don't really have any interest in ever doing a live
show.
I use way too much auto-tune to be singing live. So I'd probably choose Canada just because I feel I've been like artistically liberated here.
Mm-hmm.
I felt kind of repressed in the UK in that sense and never really kind of felt the inspiration to make any kind of art whatsoever, apart from a few poems here or there. And Denmark, I don't even speak Danish, so I wouldn't
Fair enough.
I'm not sure I'd be attracting too much fandom out there. So yeah, I choose Vancouver. I love Vancouver.
Wonderful. Yeah. Well, we're happy to have you here Vancouver. And then my third and last fun question is, if you could collaborate with any musician or artist in the world, alive or dead, who would you choose?
That is a heavy question.
No. If you want time to think about it, I can play a song.
Yeah, give me a sec to think.
Give a song?
Yeah,
okay, so. All right. Here is Don't Go by Spec Phil.
So many emotions, but your benefit. I'm feeling adrift, and it's all menaces. Don't go. Tip, tip, tip. sipping my tongue, edge in my mouth. I'm in the wrong, I'm edging you out. I'm feeling numb, my head is about to explode. Head in the clouds, I'm running from everything now. I think for too long, I'm steadier now. Gravity's calm, feather falls down, it floats. Don't let the cold envelop your soul. So just let the love come in and leave us alone. Nothing will change, and nothing gets better. Nothing will change, and I'm developing methods for watching my way. Not altruistic, I'll change. And will she miss me, it seems? These thoughts always haunt my dreams. Always confuse what they mean. 1 second is you that I see, then I'm blue, it's just me. I'm not choosing to be. Not sober, I'm off my face. And then I'm okay, but I'm just not the same. So don't go, 'cause then I won't be alone. Please, no MD, please. Just LSD and 2CP. Man, fuck my chemistry. Just don't envy me and don't MSG. 'Cause when we fuck and then I'm done, it's PCD. 'Cause I'm still me, so just leave, please. You're no reprieve, and I don't mean to be avoiding speech, but I'd rather be alone. You should go, you should go.
Hello, we are currently chatting to Specphil here on CITR 101.9 FM. You are tuned in to La Bonne Heure with Valley right now. Just a little bit of a content warning moving forward as well. Some of the music and the topics that we're covering today are a little explicit, so just, you know, watch out if there are any children around. But actually, no, I think it's their spring break this week, because I was going to say they should actually be in school. So, you know, they should not be listening. Yeah, exactly. But if they are around, just as a little heads up for you there. Just before we played Don't Go, we were chatting about if you could collaborate with anyone alive or dead. What was your little thought process?
So when you asked that question to me, straight away my mind jumped to XXXTentacion. That was my go-to solace music. I loved his music. But then we had a discussion after. I don't know if we'd make a great collab. That's the thing, is I feel like you don't want to confuse your favorite artist with the artist you'd want to collaborate with the most. And so then, because of my other favorite artists, the Flatbush Zombies from New York, and there's no way that we'd make a good song together. It's some like hard, scary rap, and I'm just like not on that vibe, on this like slow, sad kind of mellow stuff these days. And then I thought about Dave from the UK, and Dave recently did a song with a up and coming singer from London called Kamal. Makes awesome music, music. And they made a song called Mercury, and Kamal is this like kind of like him, and he has the same kind of energy that I bring, obviously a lot more successful, but yeah. But, yeah, they made a song called Mercury. Kamal kind of did this like awesome melodic hook, and I reckon Dave and I could cook up one of those in a dream world. So yeah, I'd probably go for Dave. Yeah.
Okay. And he's coming to Vancouver soon.
Yeah,
as well.
Me and my buddy Jacob, shout out Jacob. We're going. We're very excited to see Dave.
Very exciting. Yeah. Okay, wonderful. So I thought diving a little bit more into the music side of things. You're quite new to music.
Yeah.
I was wondering how you discovered that it was something that you were passionate about and that you wanted to pursue and to work in.
Yeah, I mean, I've always been into words. That's things. I'm a philosophy student. I love words. And I first got into writing when I was really young, obviously, like everyone. A lot of kids like writing, but then I got a typewriter for my 18th birthday that I used all the time to write, like, poems and personal essays and stuff like that. But it never felt like the art was complete. I never felt like I finished anything. And then I just started, like, rapping kind of as a joke. My buddies with freestyling. And then it moved into rapping. And I'd be, like, writing kind of songs about stuff I was going through, sort of, like, really esoteric music and stuff like that. But I never, like, we're using like those free beats on YouTube, download the instrumentals, pop them into some terrible software and mix your stuff really badly, go through my old SoundCloud. The stuff is awful. I love it, but it's awful. And like that's how it started. And I was just kind of like, yeah, and then I went through a really tough breakup, and that kind of propelled me so deep into art. Like it was, I didn't care about anything else. I stopped socializing, I stopped really focusing on school. All I had was just like this really emotionally vivid experience that was going on with this breakup, and I just couldn't think about anything else. And the only way to kind of soothe it was to get it out. Like this is a kind of sense of catharsis that put me further into the art on an emotional and a personal level. I was really understanding how I was feeling through the music I was making. Again, it was still trash. So I was just like in my room in my student house 2 years ago, just like making song after song after song, like getting home and pulling stuff up and being not sober in a bad place, and just like making music and music and music. And then me and a buddy, Raul, I think you know Raul, we drove down to San Francisco once, and I've been fortunate to have so many like close friends here and across the pond back in London who have been like really supportive. And I guess that was one of the biggest fears I had like coming into music. I was like, oh, no one's gonna like care. And then I've got all these close friends like you, for example, Jacob, Raul, I'm not gonna name drop everyone, but you know who you are, that have been kind of like cheering me on and telling me like, dude, this is cool, like you're going somewhere. And then so yeah, me and Raul were driving down to San Francisco, and I was just complaining to him. I was like, man, like nobody wants to make music with me. Like I reached out to producers and like I don't have a studio, I use my like terrible mic. And I was like, I just want someone to like take a chance on me and like make something cool that like has like high production value, you know. And he was like, dude, why don't you just self-produce? And I was like, yeah,
really?
I never thought about that. And so I ended up getting into production, and I kind of moved away from writing, and I started producing and got really into that and got even better and better at that. And like that is the most gratifying learning experience, like learning how to produce. If anyone's thinking about producing and they're playing around with FL Studio or Ableton and fiddling around with it, like keep going, because you learn so much so quickly if you put in the time. And then I moved into engineering and I really started like mixing stuff. And so like then it became this whole like operation where like I just was producing my own stuff, writing my own stuff, recording my own stuff, mixing my own stuff, and just this super self-fulfilling process. And but yeah, that's kind of how I got into music. Just, I know maybe that's a long-winded answer for you, but and as soon as I started engineering as well, like the difference that makes artistically, it's like when you write a poem, the words are the main feature, right? Like every word has a kind of role. When you're producing your own stuff and mixing your own stuff, all the techniques you put in are part of that poem along with the words. So every little element of the, like every little sonic element of a song is a piece of the poem. And so there's just like, it's super like multifaceted and like multidimensional way of expressing yourself. And like self-producing was the best decision I ever made. And yeah, like I said, I'm thankful to have friends that have supported me and pushed me in that direction and not let me wallow in self-pity all the time. Yeah.
It's amazing how sometimes you'll have like a friend say, you know, one thing to you, and it can just change the whole outcome of you know, the future that you had in
Exactly. I think we get so stuck in our way of seeing things sometimes that some occasionally you need someone to say, like, dude, why not? And you're like, oh, yeah, why not, actually? So it's such an obvious question to ask, but with such, like, profound implications if you follow through on it. Yeah.
So that's great. Thanks to him. Here we are.
Thank you.
So you spoke a little bit about that production element as well. For me, as a musician who doesn't know anything about production, I've always thought that it must be hard to still express yourself as you can with lyrics and with the song itself through that production. Do you still find that you're able to express yourself and I guess put your soul, if we're being super dramatic, into your production?
Yeah, I'd say more so, actually.
Okay.
I guess the sort of the process, the creative process I had before I started producing was to find a beat and then write lyrics to it. So I feel like the kind of like the musical side of things kind of brings out the emotions in you, and that's what kind of leads to this, well, at least for me. And so, like, I'd be finding cool beats on YouTube and be like, oh, this is like, yeah, I could write something. And I was like, I know how this makes me feel, and like this song really like captures the emotions I'm feeling, and that will then lead me to write lyrics. But then when you make the beat yourself, it's like you kind of start the construction process of like chords or drums or whatever you go to first, and that kind of that little inspiration then leads to something else. You're like, oh, I like that chord, and I want to like put this kick drum in here, and then I want to like add these hi-hats, and I want to change that instrument, and then that's like that whole process is like moving you closer to yourself. Like, you get closer to yourself through changing the beat around you, and by the time you've got like 8 bars of a really cool loop, then you can sit down and listen. That's what I used to do with the YouTube beats, and I'll do it on my own beats. Now I've made this beat. Oh, then it will come with me. I'm like, oh, I want to say that. Like, I want to say this like this. I want to use this technique. And then after you've done that, then you build the beat back around it. That's what, at least, again, my experience. Yeah. But I'll build a beat. I'll put a verse in. I'll be like, oh, I want to like take the drums away there and emphasize that point. Or I want to like use an echo here. And it's just like, it completely changes the way you kind of like explore yourself, because it's kind of like a ping pong effect. You make the music, then you come with the words, and you go back to the music and back to the words. And it's just like, the whole bit, because if you roll in all the like artistic processes into the same thing, like if you don't look at it as in like, oh, I'm only writing, or I'm only singing, or I'm only making beats, like it's all the same kind of process, it's all the same thing. So I think more so, I feel like I express myself so much more authentically than with my own instrumentals than with beats I used to find.
Okay. And it's wonderful that you can see that progress as well. I feel like from, you mentioned your like SoundCloud days, seeing how far you've come, not only in the lyrics, but also in the production.
Yeah.
That must be very gratifying.
100%.
I was wondering where the name Spec Phil comes from.
Yeah, I thought you were going to ask me this. People ask this all the time. It's kind of like a running joke. My friends, they're like, oh, Spec Phil's here. Like, and then like, there's this running joke that me and him have never been in the same room. But Spec Phil...
Who's on the air today? Which one?
Somebody actually asked me that before. Forrest was like, oh, is it going to be Spec Phil or you now? Like, Spec Phil prepped me to speak for him. it's a weird story with that one. I used to have this like thought experiment. I told you, I remember I'm in philosophy, right? Mm-hmm. So I had this thought experiment about a milk carton. Looking back at it, it's not very insightful. But I basically had this thought experiment that if you came into your bedroom and you just saw a milk carton on there, and the window was locked, the door was locked, there's no feasible way that anyone could have got in and put a milk carton there, then like, how would the milk carton have got there? Mm-hmm. And I kind of likened that to all the like phenomenon we experience as humans, and we're born into the world, and there's just so much stuff already, there's so many phenomenons like that pre-exist or that like predate our existence. And so what are you going to do? You're just going to throw the milk carton in the bin, or are you going to like explore it? You're going to try and figure out how the milk carton got there. I know this probably doesn't make a lot of sense, but long story short, like these things that I thought when I was like, I came up with a name when I was like 16, I saw all these like spectrums in the world, like tall and short as either end of a spectrum. And that's the same thing that's what the milk carton is supposed to represent, the existence of spectrums. And so the Spec Phil stands for spectral philosophy.
Okay.
So it was this like philosophy I had when I was younger about things existing and me being interested in them, long story short, yeah.
So it wasn't the three types of glasses.
It was. It had nothing to do with swimming goggles. No. No swimming goggles, just milk cartons.
Oh, that's all right. That's all right. All right. Well, now we have another song. We have Acute Awareness. Do you want to say anything to introduce this
Yeah.
one?
This song, I love this song because the mix is so good. Mm-hmm. I'm really happy with the engineering on this one. The song itself is cool, but like when I listen back to this one, it's one of my favorite ones to listen back to because I got all the elements as best as I could get them.
Yeah.
So I love the song.
Okay, cool. Wonderful. Here it is.
It's cute that we wanna share. I told them that I'd be there. We change our life isn't fair. Blossoming before you, but I'm acutely aware. I'm acutely aware, weight lifted to necessaire. I roll over, no one's there. She's a moaner, I don't care. Sat alors, fifth wide dehors. We don't speak, we only talk. We need to eat, I drop my fork. I drank so much, I can barely walk. I can barely think, I can barely write. I can barely sing, I can barely lose. But I rarely win, there is no one here. But I love something, I am barely here. I am barely real, I can barely sleep. No, I barely feel, no, I barely mean what I rarely say. There is no one here, but I love something. But I love something, but I love something. But I love something, but I love something. But I love something. I'm in love with that false studio. No need for a stupid hoe. I'm Cupid's bow, you miss bro. Colors drained but losing tone. Out of tune but music's cold. Made in my room, the news is old. Now please stop asking, you've been told. Origami, my paper folds. I'm acutely aware, my music's cold. And now I'll share, it's arctic. I was insecure, now it's mastered. Mixed and recorded alone. Cocktails and notebooks. I D&D my phone. And then I don't look. It's just an open goal, the shots are no look. I'm digging deep in my hole, existence is hopeless. Hopeless.
I was wondering what your inspirations are when it comes to music. When you sit down and you say, okay, I'm going to make a song now, where do you get inspiration for the lyrics? Where do you get inspiration for the beat?
So the beat, there's no like... Okay, so I make a lot of my music while I'm not sober, but not the beats. The beats I make, I have to be dead sober to make, because I can't use my computer if I'm like high or something like that. So it's so hard.
That's fair.
I'll sit down sober and make a beat and like really, like focus on the technical side of it and like fiddle around for instruments. So there's no inspiration like that you could. There's no like tangible inspiration when it comes to the beats. I just like listen to the sound, see what I like. And then as you build it, you kind of like get to understand the mood of that which you're making. There's no real inspiration behind the beats other than like, oh, I like how this sounds. And I think depending on your mood, like if you're in a good mood, you'll make a happy beat. If you're in a sad mood, you'll make something depressing. Like that's kind of the inspiration. It's like causally linked to how you're feeling. In terms of the lyrics, though, I never sit down and think, oh, I want to write a song about this. Never do I sit down and be like, oh, I want to like write a song about this thing that happened. Or there's never an expressed event that inspires me to write something about it. Generally, like I said, I like let the beat play and see whatever comes to mind. I don't think about my lyrics too much. I just kind of like spill them out. And the rhyme schemes of stuff kind of lead me to the next line. And so like I generally don't second guess my instinct when I'm writing lyrics. If I like because some say will come up with absolute rubbish sometimes. They like not in the sense that it's bad, but it's just like gibberish, it like won't mean anything, but the rhyme scheme will be there, like, oh, this is maybe like kind of elusive and obscure. And so, but like I just like the inspiration just comes from the fact that you just sit down and kind of like escape into music and let the like creative process go through you. It definitely doesn't feel like I have too much agency behind it. I just feel like the without sounding too cosmic, the universe is like making music through me, and I just kind of get to watch. So there's no real like pre-thought or premeditation that goes into anything I make. Yeah,
that's fair. That's interesting that the universe makes music through you. Your latest song is called An Inevitable Witness. Mm. I was wondering if you could talk to us a little bit about, you know, the themes and the topics.
Yeah, so I came up with the title after I made the song. I don't know if people do that normally. I feel like, yeah, they do, right?
Definitely, you do, yeah? Yeah, I never you can't, think like, of titles.
but yeah, I'm just trying to think about how that song goes. What is it about? The title, I know what it's about, is it was about the inevitability of seeing evil as a person. Mm. So like the inevitable witness is me. I'm the inevitable witness of like, oh yeah, I remember because I would talk about being scared of growing old. Like obviously, like I'm only 23, but like I am scared of growing old, you know, because like I'd rather die than see everything unfold or something like that. It's just like there's that fear, that existential angst about like seeing all the negatives that happen to you, to other people, like you lose people inevitably, like the train of the universe is continuously moving forward and it will claim everything you love eventually, right?
Nice.
Without being too dark.
Happy thought.
So like there was that song is kind of derived from existential anxiety about the fact that like everything I know and love one day will kind of be lost to me, or I'll be lost from it. So which in a sense you can definitely think negatively about that concept, but you don't have to, right? Like there's a lot to be said about the fleeting nature of everything, that you know that's a good thing. It gives it value, right? It's special because it's not going to last forever. That song was just more like deeply rooted in the fact that it was just like it's pretty scary. Yeah, it's pretty scary being a person sometimes. So the inevitable witness is all of us will inevitably witness things we don't want to witness.
And I wanted to talk about Don't Go, which is the first of your songs that we played today, because I know that that's a song that you're very proud of. Could you tell us maybe why you're proud of it?
Yeah.
But again, you know, what are some of the topics that you talk about? What was the inspiration behind it?
I think, the reason I'm the most proud of that song is that, like, all of the techniques that I was using in the mixing was, like, the first time I ever used them. So when I used the kind of echoes that I used, a lot of the time, if you listen closely, you can hear, like, there's, like, a secondary voice, stereo delayed, so as in the split either side of the main vocals, pitched up maybe with deeper reverb, and just, like, the kind of encompassing sound that you get around the lyrics for that. It was just so tasty for me. You know, I was just so happy the way it turned out. And like I said, I didn't go into it thinking, like, oh, I'm going to use that technique around those words. I just kind of like it just kind of happened, and I'd never done any of them before. So the reason I like that song so much is because it speaks so closely to the kind of philosophy I have about art, where you just kind of let it happen, and it speaks so close to it because it was so successful and I didn't really plan any of it. The lyrics though are like, I'll try not to be too explicit. The lyrics are kind of, don't go, you might assume it's obviously talking about a girl. It was during like the whole breakup period I was talking about earlier, but they're not actually about a girl. They're about myself. They're about the part of me, I'm trying to put this politely, the part of me that wants to interact with other women.
Yeah.
So that I don't want you to go, because when you go, I'm then alone. So it's like, don't go, because then I'll be alone. As I'm talking to myself, I'm like, please like, don't like stop pursuing women, because then you end up sleeping alone. And that was kind of the space I was in, where I was like hanging around with a lot of girls, but not really wanting to, and not really enjoying it, and still thinking about like what it was like to have been in a happy relationship that I like let go. So there was like, I was like begging myself in that song not to leave. I was begging the part of me that wants to interact with other women not to leave, because then it would put me in a negative place. And then the second half of the song, the beat switch, then becomes an address to a specific girl that I was seeing at the time, where I'm saying like, please, I don't want you to go now, but you should go. Like it was like, as in like, don't go, but like, if you know what's best for you, you know what's best for me, we should stop doing this, you should go. you're sad, I'm sad, it's not going to work out. So that's what that song's about. It's like kind of about the self, other people that I'm pretty sure at certain points I'm referring to like three different people in the same line. Just because, like, again, like I said, I don't plan the lyrics, but I look back at them and I think the meaning comes after. I look back like, what did I mean there? Like, that could be about her, it could be about her, it could be about her, it could be about all three of them. I guess there's not too much like cognizance on my behalf as to what it is I'm actually talking about.
Yeah.
Even the whole thing was saying, like, I don't want myself to go, like, that, I didn't realize that until like I look back at the song. So, you know, if you kind of plan the chronology of a song to be like thought comes first and then words, I don't really see it that way. I don't think you have to have a thought sprout within you to then talk about it. I think you have talk about something and then that might evoke something in you. It's like almost like interpretive art about the self, which I guess is the great thing about listening to other people's music as well, is that like it doesn't have to be about what they're talking about. It can have a subjective, like, individual meaning. I guess I can find the meaning afterwards. But that's what the meaning about that song is.
Yeah. It kind of reminds me of when people talk about the difference between being alone and like being lonely.
Yeah.
So it's a
100%.
Yeah.
100%.
But it's a beautiful song. And one last song that I thought we could chat a little bit about is Go Your Dreams.
Go Your Dreams. I love Go Your Dreams.
Why?
One thing I don't like about Go Your Dreams is I think I got the mix a little bit wrong.
Okay.
You know how you put like a high filter on lyrics to make them like sharper?
Uh-huh.
I forgot to do that on the whole album. Like, the whole album is missing high filters. It pains me to this day. That song, I just wish the vocals were just a little crispier. But that song's cool. So like the Y is capitalized in it, right? Because that's the question I'm asking. It's like, Go Yard, why would you dream about Go? So Go Yard is a brand like Gucci, I think.
it might be.
Yeah, and we'll so like, so I was like, why would you dream about material things? Is kind of the question behind that song.
Okay.
And it was more of a, again, like self-directed. It was like, it was at a point where I was like really liking music and really thinking that I might want to pursue it professionally, and then starting to get caught up in the superficial aspirations behind like fame and wealth, and that was ever something that I really wanted. It was just something that kind of popped up here and there. And then this song is kind of like a letter to myself about don't lose the meaning of art in the pursuit of having it heard.
There's
a really nice part in the middle of that song where I like talk about me being an opponent to myself. And since then, I actually, that song was a bit of a turning point for me, because I realized that I can't speak for everyone else, but like on a personal level, I realized that you'd have to engage in a sort of kind of grinding that would detract from the like meaningful nature of art for me. Mm-hmm. So I'd have to try and like really push it to make stuff. I have to really try and push like socializing. Like, I'm not a very like extroverted person artistically. I don't want to play shows. I don't want to like make people listen to my music. I don't want to like promote myself. I'm not a brand. I just like making art.
Mm-hmm.
And so like I like went through a while where I wanted to like take my face off my brand and just like put it back to, well, I say I'm not brand. I take my face off my art. I think that since then I had this like realization through that song that I don't want to do that. Like, I don't want to like perform shows. I don't want to like push it professionally. I just really like doing it, you know. So since then I stopped any kind of promotion. I don't engage with my Instagram very much. Like, I don't like social media, so I stay off it as much as I can. I've got no interest in making people listen to my music. Mm-hmm. I like making it. So I'll make it and I'll send it to my little sister. I'll be like, what do you think of this?
Aww.
And like, it's like, you know, you can have five people listen to your song, five people you care about, versus like thousands of people you don't know, or millions of people you don't know. And like, I don't know how that feels to have millions of people you don't know, but I'm pretty content with showing stuff to my girlfriend now, to my mom, to my sister, to Valley.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm happy. I'm happy not pursuing it. And like, I don't want to speak to whether I could have done it or not, because it's not something I ever think about. But I'm happy not dreaming of Goatyard. I'm happy dreaming of intimate connections with people I care about, and staying away from what seems to me to be a bit of a cesspit. But I mean, that's just my opinion. I'm not saying that people shouldn't pursue their stuff professionally. If you believe in yourself, absolutely you should do it. But I just maybe didn't believe in myself that much, and and got enough out of it already and didn't need any kind of extra meaning. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely more quality over like quantity.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely. 100%, yeah.
Nice. Yeah. All right. Well, here is Go Your Dreams.
Sorry about the mix.
And I spoke and I showed him he's only a worthy opponent when he's on his lonesome. He knows that he's hoping the loathing that's flowing and foaming will go when he finds one, but holding that one thing so cold. Calls me, no one calls me, no one knows me. Why are you dreaming? Not that girl, yeah. Teach me a thing. Trying to stay lucid, I stay awake in my sleep. I'm always asking why, like what does it mean? Under my eyes, I slip into your Goya dreams. I slip into your Goya dreams. I slip into your Goya
So one last question for you, and that's what's next? How are you feeling with music at the moment?
Yeah.
And what do you think you want to do with it in the future?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny that you asked me that, is that like this interview was probably couldn't have come at a worse time. Like, yeah. I've never been, since I started making music right now, I don't think I've never been as disconnected from music, because I just have so much going on elsewhere. Like, I have like other dreams I'm chasing right now. Hoping to get some more education done after I graduate. I want to become a professor at some point, hopefully. I've got a new relationship that's going really well. Mm-hmm. We're moving in together. Thinking about moving back to England at some point. So yeah. I have a dog now. So I mean, yes. Music has taken a really
very cute dog. Yeah, by the way, to our listeners, he's a very, very cute dog.
Yeah, and so like music's taken a bit of a backseat because I'm pursuing other stuff at the moment, and I'm in an apartment right now where the sound. The acoustics aren't great. Mm. They are in my bedroom, but I refuse to make music in the bedroom anymore. Yeah. I don't think I'll have as much time to make music in the future. I won't have the space. And I guess I'm just happier as well. That's the thing.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of my stuff, as you tell, is like pretty sad. And 'cause I find a lot of inspiration from sadness, because I feel like sadness is kind of inherently a negative thing. Like, nobody enjoys being sad, right? But if you make art about it, you can kind of convert that sadness to something beautiful. Like, I sit back and listen to these really depressing songs I made, and I'm like, oh, like, I'm so happy that I made that. You know, that's so beautiful to me because of it's so, like, reflective in a way.
Cathartic.
And, like, yeah, exactly. But, it makes something bad into something good, put simply, you know. And because I'm happy, I don't get that same kind of inspiration. I don't really look to make happy music. So my girlfriend's always like, oh, why don't you make a love song about me? I'm like, I don't know. I don't feel like it. Yeah, I just like, I don't get the inspiration to make something about something happy, because I've had a lot of like sadness in my life. And when I'm happy, I just like want to enjoy it. You know, I'm sitting there having an awesome time. I'm not sitting there like thinking, oh, this would make a great lyric. Like, we're at the beach drinking a bottle of wine with the dog, and I'm like, oh, I should write a song about this. Yeah. No, I'm just like living in the moment and loving it, and so happy to be experiencing happiness again. Mm. So I think I'm just too happy to make music. Maybe something something bad will happen in the future, and that will maybe inspire me to make something depressing again. And I look forward to that in a way, because I know that music is like almost like a weapon against hardship for me. And I just like, I hope that, like, because obviously, like I said, we inevitably witness bad stuff. I hope that I can reconnect with the part of me that gets inspired. But I'm also not doing anything musically. I have my software constantly open. I'm just making beats and focusing on production right now. It's like I always liken it to artists that have like visual artists that have like a canvas in the room and a bunch of paper, and they just rip off a new piece of paper and start a new project. It's like that for me right now. I have like 20, 30 unfinished songs that I've got no intention of finishing or releasing. Yeah. I just like make a beat, throw some lyrics down, like, oh, that's cool, I like that. Like, boom, just rip it off onto the next one, move on to something else. So the process is never ending, but the inspiration to like really get connected to my art and really invest myself in it just isn't really there at the moment, and like I'm totally at peace with that. So I mean, yeah, I guess in the future I hope to make some more music. I've had a couple collabs with a few friends. One of them we've released the song with Lucas.
Oh yeah,
it's called Translucence. Lucas absolutely kills it.
He
doesn't have a name on Spotify. I like made one up for him. I used his own like his own pseudonym. It's called like Eastern Road.
Yeah, but
he's not on Spotify apart from that song. But we kind of just like hung out for a few days. I made a cool beat for him. He sent me a few references, like send me some beats you like.
Yeah.
And then he sent me some really sick beats, and I did my best to emulate the energy, and then he came over and we laid down some verses, and he absolutely smashed it. And that was really fun. So like I hope to like maybe collab with some people that but yeah, I guess like my focus right now is away from music at the moment. But that's not to say I won't be coming back.
No.
But yeah, I just like I said, I'm just too happy to be making sad music right now.
Fair enough. And I mean, I guess we're happy to hear that.
Yeah.
That's nice. But it's been wonderful having you here chatting with us today. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much for having
this
me, Bali.
It's been so much fun.
I had a great time.
Me too. Finishing the show off with a couple songs. We have Au bout du monde de Amélie Ruby et Paranoise et TMTA by Styles Brisson or Brisson. It's double S, so Brisson, I think. Here is Au bout du monde de Amélie Ruby et Paranoise.
Toujours m'aimer, mais c'est juste une phase.
Tu n'es plus discret et tu laisses des traces. Je sais que tu es marié avec une autre femme. Et moi, pendant ce temps-là, je me donne à fond. Je te fais l'amour avec toi dans mes corazons.
Un baiser de toi me fait perdre la raison.
Tu me fais du tort, tu sais que j'ai raison. Mais pourquoi tu me fais voir la vie en rose? Je ferai tout pour toi, mais toi, tu veux toujours une pause.
Quand je rentre chez moi, d'être seul au monde.
Les caresses de tes mains me manquent horriblement. Je fonds que pour toi. J'irai jusqu'au bout du monde. J'irai dans ton cœur à l'ombre. Très à l'écart de tous les dangers et tous les pénombres. Mais reste que c'est ta décision.
Vas-y, t'inquiète, t'en fais pas pour moi. Va la rejoindre, vite, il se fait tard.
Même si ça blesse, même si ça fait mal. Même si je sais que tu en as marre.
Car moi j'ai tout ce qu'elle n'a pas. Elle ne pourra jamais gagner ma place. Tu dois partir, faut que tu t'en ailles.
mais n'oublie pas que je suis juste à toi. Chez moi, j'ai l'impression d'être seul au monde.
Les caresses de tes mains me manquent horriblement. Je fonds que pour toi. J'irai jusqu'au bout du monde. J'irai dans ton cœur à l'ombre. Très à l'écart de tous les dangers et tous les pénombres. Mais
je crois. There is a drinking water settlement for First Nations, and the claims process is now open. If you are a First Nations member impacted by a long-term drinking water advisory, you may be eligible for compensation. This is the first drop in recognizing those communities impacted. Submit your claim at firstnationsdrinkingwater.ca.